this right around the corner when, 8 days from today, we will be talking about the New Orleans Saints having their second day of practice and the first day that fans can go out there. If you've driven down Airline Drive, the stands are there. They do have, you know, tops on them. That's gotten better since the first couple of years they've moved training camp back here to Metairie. So you do have at least some shading to it. Right on schedule, though, all that rain we've been having, that's gone. Welcome back to the triple-digit heat indices. So be a hot start, no doubt, next week to training camp. But there are the storylines, looking forward to it and seeing some of that here as well. I'm going to give you a quick interesting tidbit before we get to Tim Grubbs at 2:15 on something I'm seeing out there. We touched on it with Roy, super fan of the Miami Dolphins, and you know, he wants Alvin Kamara. He wants now, you know, Cam Jordan for Xavien Howard. Now, Xavien Howard's a corner over in Miami. CeeDee Deuce, your cornerback in mind, one of our favorites, at CGJXXII on Twitter. So he tweets earlier this morning and yesterday here, 4 hours ago, Lat, Xavien, CeeDee, PJ, Malcolm, and Marcus. A couple of dots, all caps. Sheesh. Not the first time he's done it. Now again, what is that? Is that just, he's seeing obviously a lot of reports and speculation. The Saints could be one of the teams interested in Xavien Howard. Who's Xavien Howard? He is, again, as I mentioned, a cornerback for the Dolphins. What's interesting is he feels like he's outplayed the 5-year, $75 million extension he signed in May of 2019. That's right. In May of 2019, he feels that he has outplayed the 5-year, $75.25. 5-year, $75 ring a bell? It's Alvin Kamara. It's the Alvin Kamara deal, essentially. So, for example, going into his second season, Alvin Kamara comes out and says, I've outplayed that contract. I'm not showing up. I want a new deal. That's what Xavien Howard's doing with the Dolphins. Brand new extension, 5 years, 75, feels he's already outplayed that after one season. That might give me pause, but apparently, again, look, you look at it as a player. Here's my only, again, thinking out loudness. Marshawn Lattimore, any looking for a new deal as well? Now, again, are you concerned about the off-the-field issue? Is he going to be suspended to start the season? Has that kept you from maybe thinking long-term, 5 years, $75 million to him? Still under his rookie contract. So that's a decision. Two, Marcus Williams, same draft class. Marcus Williams is a guy that is playing under the franchise tag. So Marcus Williams is playing under the franchise tag. And he is looking for a big contract. So let's say you want to keep those two. I've got to imagine Xavien Howard, if you trade for him, however that's going to be, is it a first round or two? Is it a first round pick and a veteran player? You're not sending Alvin Kamara. I told Roy, stop it. Now the Dolphins fans, they want Cam Jordan. Let me tell you something. Even if you thought that was a smart move to do, because again, here's my other point. Aside from the fact you owe money in certain other position groups in the secondary, anybody want to tell me how you feel about the D-line? I mean, I have hopes in Peyton Buckshot Turner. Maybe Marcus Davenport will step up this year. David Onyemata's out 6 games. I like to think Shai Tuttle and others can do the job. Great. Cam Jordan, was last year an anomaly or was last year the start of his decline? And that's just Father Time. That's not ripping him. I'm not saying he's terrible. But I might want to focus on that. I might want to look on that. Am I going to invest a 5-year, $75 million deal or more with Lattimore? Xavien Howard wants more than that. I'm assuming, okay, so what are you trading for him for this year? If you're going to trade for him, you're probably having a discussion or have an understanding that he's going to want a new deal. And you're probably going to do that to be more cap friendly. It's a lot of money tied into two corners. Okay, so what if Marcus Williams? Are you letting him go? You're running out of money. Now, Gus, the Saints always make a way. I get that. I know they circumvent the cap. The cap doesn't exist. Nick Underhill's done a great job from NewOrleans.football to talk about how the Saints do it. I get that. At the end of the day, though, there's only so much money. Isn't there? What if the receiving corps doesn't pan out this year? And you have to go get one next year in free agency. What if, here you go, your quarterback works? No one's really talking about it if it doesn't work. What if he works? Jameis Winston's not going to play for a 1-year deal. The going rate for a starting quarterback in the NFL is $40 million. It's going to be over 30. I mean, I seriously doubt Jameis Winston, if he has a good season, becomes the Saints starter, takes the team to a double-digit win season, even the postseason, you think he's taking less than 30? If Taysom Hill becomes the starter, takes the Saints to a double-digit win season, perhaps a playoff spot. Remember that deal for $16 million that everybody complained about? Potatoes, right? He's a starting quarterback in the NFL that's proven, at least on that aspect of it. So, I mean, I think it's fun to speculate or to look at I love this play and all that. And it's interesting when CD Deuce tweets what the secondary would look like. It's a pretty bad, you know what, secondary. I get it. I get it. I do. How do you make that happen? I just don't see that happening. I just don't. That's me. I could be completely surprised and show up to training camp next week and week after that. And Xavien Howard is your starting cornerback opposite of Marshawn Lattimore. Look, here's my thing with the draft picks, because I saw a lot of people go, "Why? I'm not giving up two first rounds or three first rounds." The Saints, if anybody, have shown very, they've been very good at being able to find starting players and good players all the way around. Not first round picks, if that makes sense. So that wouldn't keep me from getting a player like that. My pause doesn't come from what the cost would be with him. My pause comes from the fact that he's telling his current team that gave him a 5-year, 75 point something million dollar contract extension that he feels he's outplayed it. That gives me pause. I have a certain locker room. I don't mind confident players, but it does at least give me pause that after I give you a deal to perform the way that you feel you've performed, that you feel deserves another raise, I'm going to say, well, that's why I paid you 5 years, $75 million. Again, it could just be me. I'm not a GM and I'm not a head coach. But that would give me pause. The only way I can sort of use an analogy to it, it would be like Alvin Kamara, who signed his deal before last season. Similarly, 5 years, $75 million, comes into training camp this year and says, nope, I've outplayed it. That's what's happening in Miami with them. Into his second year of a new extension, he wants a new contract. So, very interesting from that perspective. I told you I wanted to play that Nick Saban bite, though, from the NIL, his thoughts on how it's going to affect a locker room. I keep saying I'm curious, and again, time's going to tell. It's not going to be proven in the first week or anything of that nature. But his starting quarterback is close to 7 figures. He's never thrown a pass in the game. Like in the game. You wonder how that plays out in a locker room. There are some guys that have been at Alabama, have probably played, were part of that national championship team last year, are back. They're not at seven figures. But they're not the starting quarterback, Gus. I get it. He hasn't thrown a pass. Are some of these deals going to change if your level of play doesn't meet expectation? Number seven for LSU is a big number. It's attached to different meanings, and because of that, it means what? You're the best player on the defense, best player on the team. It's going to come with some NILs now. What if you have a down year? I don't know. I don't know how those contracts are tied. I can't, but it was something that was brought up by Matt Moscona with the assistant athletic director for LSU. Are these deals going to be performance-based? Because in the real world, advertising dollars are attached to performance. One way, shape, or form, right? Advertisers get charged a certain amount for television shows that have high ratings. Lower ratings shows still get advertising, but they don't pay that higher rate. Radio shows, right? Agencies look at our numbers, our ratings. You rate high, you have numbers, you get different types of advertisers. You don't, you get different type of advertisers. Money's always different as well. So that's the real world. And after a deal is signed, it is held to a certain level of performance. If an advertiser signs with our show and we succeed at work, they renew. If they feel it's not working, they don't renew. So what happens with a player? And say you're a starting quarterback. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, what if you're the starter at the beginning of the season and you're not by midseason? Does that contract null and void? Does it end? Does the starter then? What happens to that player? I don't know. I'm just thinking of like situations like this because you saw Miles Brennan already be tied to a couple of people. And some assume he's the quarterback. I like Max Johnson. What if Max Johnson becomes the quarterback later on in the season and is your starter? Does the companies that have attached to Miles Brennan pull that next month's check and then give it to Max Johnson? I don't know. Here's Nick Saban on what he thinks that this might do to the locker room.
Well, I think, first of all, what I said before is anything that I say now, because there's no precedent for it, you don't really know how it's going to affect things. The question is because it's not going to be equal, and everything that we've done in college athletics in the past has always been equal. Everybody's had equal scholarship, equal opportunity. Now that's probably not going to be this case. You know, some positions, some players will have more opportunities than others. And how that's going to impact your team, our team, the players on the team, I really, you know, can't answer because we don't have any precedent for it.
Yeah, and opportunity and notoriety equal opportunity for you to make money. I've covered many a team. I can promise you just normally, you always, it's just a natural thing during a season. You're going to have players gripe about touches, playing time, what have you. That is before you attach the opportunity to make money on it. What's to say? And I don't know. I could be, you know, chicken littling it here. But if I'm a defensive back, we're playing a lot of zone, I can't get picks. That hurts my stock. If we're not pressuring and we're not blitzing enough, if, you know, does that help? You know, you're asking me to do run coverage, but I want to go rush the passer. I get sacks, more notoriety, more eyes on me. A receiver, why we keep throwing to the left? I'm open, throw it to me. A running back, we throw the ball too much. You know, third and one, I get a chance to pick up a first down. We're throwing it. If it's a dual threat quarterback, nobody else is being used. The O-line may sit there and be like, hey, this guy's getting seven figures before he throws a pass. He ain't throwing anything if we don't block for him. It is going to affect you. I'm just human nature, right? Human nature. I'm driving a secondhand car. This guy drives up in a range. It's going to affect you. I don't know how it's not. I don't know if it's going to be disastrous. It may not be. And I don't know if it's going to be. But I'm interested in that social studies experiment to just see how it is. And as Nick Saban says, we've never been down this road. So I don't know. And we only will see as the season goes on and on, if at all, that bothers anybody or not. So we'll see. Touch 'em all, Timmy Grubbs. Once a week, we like to talk a little Major League Baseball. He is up next. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
Total Urgent Care. Walk-in care for minor injury and illness when you need it. Open 7 days a week, including evenings and weekends, with no appointments or long wait times. When the unexpected happens and you need a fish hook removed, stitches, x-rays, or you have a common ailment like a sore throat, fever, or vomiting, Total Urgent Care is here for you. Open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and weekends from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Total Urgent Care in Cutoff on Highway 3162 in front of Walmart. For more info, go to MyTotalUrgentCare.com.
Avenue One Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
A new name. A new era. TGMC is now Terrebonne General Health System. This change reflects our transition to more of an all-around healthcare partner rather than just a healthcare provider. With new facilities, new innovations, and new ways to help you, we've done more than change our name. We've changed our future. To see what's new at Terrebonne General Health System, visit tghealthsystem.com.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wood.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Yes. Steelers, Cowboys. Having their first practice today as training camp has begun for them. Saints a week from today. Add Mr. Tim Grubbs is the way to follow. Touch them all, Timmy Grubbs, voice of the Wichita Shockers. Jesus, that's the basketball team, Wind Surge. Sorry about that. I knew it was one of those teams. What's up, Tim? How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, Wichita Shockers. You know, here we go.
Yep. But, well, we'll be seeing them soon enough as basketball season is a couple months away. But your Steelers, your Pittsburgh guy, the big, big story, Tim. Big Ben looks in shape.
You just got to love this national media. I don't really know what to think about the Steelers. You know, I mean, I'm not as down on them as some people are. I mean, I hear Colin Cowherd and his show saying that they're going to be worse than Cincinnati, and I'm like, God, there'll be five games better than Cincinnati. What's he thinking? Mm-hmm. But, you know, and that doesn't mean I think the Steelers are going to be great, but I still think that Cincinnati, I'll be surprised if they win five games in general. But, you know, I don't really get it. I don't know why they're hating on him. That was the team that was 11-0 last year. I know they struggled down the stretch, but it was the team that was undefeated. It is a division champion. And right. Honestly, I'll be perfectly honest. I think if that playoff game, you know, they got down 21-0 in the first 4 minutes of the game. If that playoff game is 5 minutes longer, I think they would have come back and beaten them, yeah. And it would have been a very incredible comeback. I think they would have lost the next week, probably bad to the Chiefs. But even though I say that, I think their defense is pretty good, and they got a good running back. So we'll see what happens.
I agree with you. I'm kind of surprised. Oh, the Steelers are terrible. I'm like, they were undefeated for pretty much 2/3 of the season. I mean,
they were 11-0.
I know.
Some of those games were unimpressive. But that's the NFL. You know, that year, I mean, you're not going to blow everybody out. What makes a good team is winning the close game. You know what I mean? And that's what I think people forget.
By the way, here's a this is just for you. Here is a Steelers reporter for ESPN on how incredible Big Ben looks.
I think that it will be another year removed from surgery. I think that that plus the fact that he was able to have a full off season that wasn't just focused on rehab, I think that that's going to pay dividends when we get into the 17 game regular season. He's going to be healthier. He already feels stronger. And we talked to him after practice today, and I'm interested to see exactly how he says he's feeling after this summer.
There you go, Brooke Pryor. I'll tell you how he's feeling, like I will, after I cut the grass here in about 2 hours. I'm going to be sore from it. But look, I think he's got help with Najee Harris and all that. It's going to be interesting to see how this season sort of plays out because of that 17th game. I know it's different sports, but you know, Tim, last year there were not as many games, obviously, because of when the season started in Major League Baseball. We've always talked about maybe the season shorter, making players fresher and stuff. Longer seasons, they have an impact, right? More chance for injuries. You get tired towards the end of the year, things like that.
Yeah, you absolutely do. And I don't know if this is, you know, when you start comparing sports, sometimes it's difficult to do that. Look what happened in the NBA. They compressed the schedule. They started later. And when the season ended, you know, were the Milwaukee Bucks the best team? You know, fine. But look at all the injured players in the playoffs. It certainly was a diminished product at the time when you wanted it to shine. You know, Kawhi was hurt, LeBron was hurt, AD was hurt. You know what I mean? It was kind of, when you wanted your players to be healthy, it certainly was a little different. And I don't know if it was because of the schedule and the compressed time schedule. And I certainly hope that the NFL, that doesn't happen. You know, the last thing you want is for, you know, the top teams to be limping into the playoffs come January and have it not be the same finished product. You know, and baseball, you know, we've had a lot of injuries this year. The one good thing about baseball is it's 162 games. And the good thing that the Dodgers do, Kraft's Dodgers, and one of the things that they do in their cheating angle is, you know, Kershaw always gets hurt this time of year, whether he's hurt or not. They just shut down pitchers and just put them on the injured list just so they can rest up. And they've had the benefit of being able to do that the last couple of years because of their division. This year, because they're in there with the Giants and Padres, I don't know if they'll be able to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But they've done it already a little bit, and it seems like they're pacing their guys just to make sure they're ready for the stretch run.
Yeah, like I said, man, I you know, I'm convinced it's the Cardinals and Dodgers that have absolutely cheated. The Astros just got caught. Look at one of the stories I just saw, man. It's, you know, Tim Kurkjian on ESPN. Just, I wouldn't say breaking my heart, but I mean, it's not that I should be surprised or I should be shocked by this, but when's the trade deadline coming up? When is it?
It's like 9 days away, right?
Yeah, here he is. This is what he had to say.
I think they have to go get a hitter. Now, I'm not sure they can get Chris Bryant from the Cubs, but that he sure would look good playing third base every day for the Mets.
There it is. So it's I just have to come to terms with it, right? I have to come to terms with it.
I think you have to. I mean, I think the Chris Bryant thing was set in motion a little more than a year and a half ago. Well, really, it was set in motion 5 years ago.
Right.
When he was playing in New Orleans instead of playing at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
You know, when he opened the year at AAA, there became the friction between the Chris Bryant camp and the Chicago Cubs. And they opened that year. You know, he opened the year in AAA. Obviously, I was fortunate enough to see the guy play a bunch because of that, both up in Des Moines and in New Orleans. And, you know, I remember you being at the ballpark, and it was a lot of fun, and it was a festive atmosphere seeing KB come in there and played his final minor league game at Zephyr Field. But, you know, there was some friction then. They were unable to ever smooth that over, and they should have. They should have extended him early, should have maybe overpaid him. But when that didn't happen, you know, the ball was rolling for this showdown to happen where he was probably – and it's a shame because he won a World Series title there, and he's going to be beloved in Chicago by Cubs fans. And, you know, it's amazing that team won only one, and I guess it's the comparison to the 86 Mets or the 85 Bears. You know, the 85 Bears are looked at as the greatest football team ever, and how many Super Bowls did they win? They won one, you know, so it's hard to really say they're the best team ever.
Yeah, it is interesting when you look at it from that perspective, man. It actually started at the very beginning before he actually played a single game at Wrigley Field for you. And you know what? They got nobody to blame but themselves. Let's take a look at the rest of the, I guess, storylines that are sort of standing out. You've told me for a while, you almost kind of get a sense of feel some divisions are kind of already wrapped up. But you do see some that are maybe perhaps surprised. Are you surprised the Giants and Dodgers are duking it out there with the Giants in first place in the West?
You know, I thought the Dodgers would be duking it out with the Padres. The
right.
Giants are the surprise team. You know, but somehow or another, it's kind of a bunch of misfits that have come together and they keep hanging in there. So that I am very surprised at San Francisco. But, you know, the way things are looking, I think they're set up pretty good unless they have some catastrophic injuries. I think the Giants will be at least a wild card team.
Right. Be interesting to look at it. When I look at the Central, Brewers in top, Reds there, 6.5, Cards 7.5, your Pirates there. 60 losses. What did you give them, 100-something?
I had 120, so we'll
okay.
see if I get
That's a lot of...
they got a lot of work to do. I mean, I think I was probably a little over-ambitious, but that Pirates team figures out a way that they've lost some really crazy games this year. So, hey, they've lost 4 in a row, so we'll see where they will be come October.
You heard Tim talk a little bit about the Mets needing a hitter. They have a 3.5 game lead over the Phillies, Braves 4.5, Nationals 6. So kind of still somewhat in distance. In the AL, Astros 3 up on the A's in the Central, Indians 8.5 back already, the White Sox. You surprised the AL Central so bad this year?
Yeah, I am. I mean, obviously, I thought Cleveland, all their pitching got hurt. We knew they wouldn't hit. Cleveland's pitching got hurt, so that's going to derail them. The Twins have had injuries up and down, so that's hurt them. The White Sox have been very good, and they look that way. And Detroit's won 6 in a row, probably too little too late. But, you know, they're starting to, you know, show maybe some signs to maybe be a team next year.
I think one of the things that will be interesting to see is over in the East what takes place. Sox are up a game on the Rays, Yankees 7. Are they too far back, even though they're 7-3 in their last 10?
The Yankees have won 4 in a row.
Okay,
they're going to buy. I've seen, I shouldn't be throwing anybody under the bus, but I've seen a number of scouts at our games recently, and the word is Max Scherzer is going to be traded. So the Nationals are going to trade him away, and if he ends up with the Yankees, supposedly Toronto is real in the mix, but it's possible that the Yankees could be in the mix. If you can imagine Scherzer with the Yankees at this point, you can see all of a sudden 7-game lead evaporating pretty quick. At least I can, because I think he's that good.
Yeah, and you kind of get a sense and feeling too, man. One of the other guys over on the Cubs that would make sense is Kimbrel. Who needs a closer in that area?
Well, the Red Sox are the rumor for Kimbrel. Obviously, right. Kimbrel made a name for himself with Boston, was it 5 years ago or whatever. I think he could go back there and be reunited. Now, we'll see. And you know the Cubs are going to get rid of Kimbrel. They're going to get rid of Bryant. Other than that, I don't know how deep the Cubs dive in. I don't know if they're going to do a total rebuild and total bottom out. I don't think they're going to. I think this is just a little dip where they'll get rid of a couple people, try to get who they can, and try to regroup for next year. I don't think this is a total rebuild like you saw in Chicago, you know, 8-9 years ago, or what the Pirates are in the middle of doing.
Yep, no doubt. We'll see what happens, Tim. And as always, man, appreciate the time. And look, just keep in mind, Big Ben gives us hopes, you know, ultimate dad body, dude. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, it does. It gives us, I mean, he doesn't look like a quarterback. Doesn't look
no,
like an athlete.
That's what I'm saying. If he looks in shape and he looks good, then you know what? We look good, Tim. That means we look good.
Give him another Yingling and have him sling another touchdown.
Dude, I could go for a Yingling right now. No doubt about it. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, Gus. Talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Tim Grubbs. At Mr. Tim Grubbs. Ready to follow him over on Twitter. Rest of the way. Show is open if you'd like to chime in. 800-998-1003. We'll rehash all the different topics of the day. Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Sometimes watching a flawless serve can make you realize,
wait a minute. I think I might love tennis.
So you get 2% cash back on rackets, 2% cash back on shoes, 2% cash back on gear, tennis balls, lessons. And before you know it, you've got a decent backhand.
I do have a decent backhand.
Get unlimited 2% cash back on purchases and be ready for your next passion with the new Wells Fargo Active Cash Visa Card.
Terms apply. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. All rights reserved.
Friends, demand for unskilled workers is sky high, but who wants that life? There's demand for hundreds of thousands of IT and cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. My Computer Career is training people to meet it. Get skilled. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Through July, grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you, and to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be.
Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro.
Bart and Han.
You know, whenever you're forcing somebody to do something, you want people to do it for the right reasons. And I think you only get that by exposure and being able to maybe have some type of assistant coaches award where you have all these assistant coaches in one place. Then that way you have the owners there and then they have opportunity to engage. And yeah, you're going to have some type of tampering, but they get to engage and get to see these people as people.
Bart and Han, weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. So I played this a little bit earlier. Nick Saban. What does he think the name, image, and likeness will play out in the locker room? And it's, I can't disagree with him. He doesn't know. Basically what he says.
Well, I think, first of all, what I said before is anything that I say now, because there's no precedent for it, you don't really know how it's going to affect things. The question is because it's not going to be equal, and everything that we've done in college athletics in the past has always been equal. Everybody's had equal scholarship, equal opportunity. Now that's probably not going to be the case. You know, some positions, some players will have more opportunities than others. And how that's going to impact your team, our team, the players on the team, I really, you know, can't answer because we don't have any precedent for it.
So when you take that, here's Booger McFarland as to how he suggests, he thinks, that coaches should handle the NIL.
And if I were a coach, I would use NIL to coerce these players. Hey, it's really simple. Play better, you get more money. However, also, once you get the money, then you also have to conduct yourself in a manner like professionals, meaning if you have a deal for $500,000 and you go out and you get a DUI, well, guess what? Just like professional players, you're going to get dropped by their company. So if I'm a coach, I'm going to use the NIL to my advantage to motivate my players, to get them to act accordingly. And I think this can be a win-win, but the problem is guys like us, me, you, and Fitzy, who are a part of the old school, we kind of turn our nose up at the fact that a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old like Bryce Young is already making $1 million. And we're like, how can this happen? Well, it's just the changing of times. And I think we have to get used to that.
Yeah, no doubt, right, as to how it's going to happen. Also, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, let's see what takes place in the locker room. Let's see what happens, as I mentioned, if performance increases or goes down, you know, how that happens as well. It's just like anything else. You just don't know. It's going to be learning on the fly, that is for sure. Got to break in with this instrument, or I guess this information that just came down 3 minutes ago, and that is that the Pelicans have officially, named Willie Green as the head coach. They just put out a press release. It reads, the Pelicans have named Willie Green the team's new head coach, and he becomes the eighth head coach in franchise history. Quote, after an extensive and collaborative search, Willie stood out among an impressive group of candidates as the best person to lead our team moving forward. This is Pelicans Governor Gail Benson. We are very happy to welcome Willie as our new head coach, and we look forward to working with him to guide our team on the court as we work towards bringing a championship to New Orleans. David Griffin, Vice President of Basketball Operations, adds, Willie has established himself as one of the most respected assistant coaches in the NBA. In large part, this is due to a tireless work ethic and authenticity of character. He brings a vast amount of basketball knowledge and experience to our team as both a coach and former player, along with exceptional leadership qualities and an innate ability to connect with players, staff, and fans alike. We could not be more excited to welcome Willie and his family to New Orleans. As for the new Pelicans head coach, he adds this in the statement: I want to thank Mrs. Benson, David Griffin, and the entire Pelicans organization for having faith in me to lead this talented group of players moving forward. It's a blessing and an honor to get this opportunity in a special place like New Orleans. I look forward to getting to work and immersing myself and my family into the local community. Now, as for Green, he's, like we talked about, started being an assistant there in 2016. In the NBA with the Golden State Warriors and then, you know, joining the Phoenix Suns and being part of that organization as well. So not a ton of head coaching, well, not any head coaching experience in just into coaching in 2016. But in that short amount of time, you heard Coach Kerr say during the finals that he thought Willie Green was going to be a star in the head coaching community. Monty Williams valued him a ton. We played a lot earlier of Willie Green in an interview back in October as to how he views sort of himself and things that he can learn and what he would, I guess, be like as a head coach. And again, it was just a preseason interview of what he had learned, but it stood out to me, right? I remember if you listen to the show, after that day, we were all like, hey, I'm sold. And I thought it was the right fit. Look, you have Fred Vinson. You have Teresa Witherspoon. Two members on the staff that sort of, you know, have the respect already of players. And if you add a coach with some tenure, some experience as his associate head coach, I think it made sense. Like, the more I thought about it, that move just made sense. More and more, more and more. So, congrats, head coach Willie Green. And we'll see when we will have that availability for when it's going to be. The press conference, the introductory press conference, will be Tuesday at 11 a.m. Central. So, Tuesday, we'll actually hear from Willie Green as the 12-year NBA veteran will now be the head coach for your New Orleans Pelicans. If you want to chime in on that, Pels fans, feel free to do so. Got about 20 minutes left. We can talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. Now we know it's official and kind of like it, you know, the team's kind of starting to put everything together from that aspect of it. And moving into the draft next Thursday, which, by the way, do not forget, we will be over at Hooters on the West Bank. On Belchase Highway, 2781 Belchase Highway, where Berman and Belchase meet right before you keep going straight to where the bridge and the tunnel is over there. Mapalco meeting Belchase Highway, that corner. That's where Hooters is. We'll be there from 6 to 10. Ty Graffanini, myself, Daniel Salerson, Jim Eichenhofer will be at the Smoothie King Center, manning everything from that aspect of it. You're going to hear exclusive Pelican interviews from staff, from players, you name it. The first round pick, the Pelicans select 10th as of now. They have 4 second round picks as of now. So we're planning on being there till 10 o'clock. That's when Hooters closes anyway. So we'll be there at 6 and we'll be there at least probably to 10 unless something changes from that aspect of it. We're going to be there for a bit. So come on by, have fun with us. We will have Pelicans giveaways that the team is providing for us here as well as it is a conjunction with the Pelicans and ESPN New Orleans to be able to put this together. So super pumped and excited about it because I actually think this draft matters in a couple perspectives here. I know a lot of people look at it and say, hey, go get veterans, go do this, go do that. I think the Pels have some steps they have got to take, have some question marks, have some holes to fill, no doubt. You need shooting, defense, rebounding, size. I thought Milwaukee's size eventually wore down Phoenix. So how can you learn from what you saw this postseason? I think does matter to an extent because obviously you're not just building your roster through the draft, but through free agency as well. Lonzo Ball, what are you doing with him? That's going to be an issue, obviously, after the draft ends next week. A restricted free agent, are you matching? Are you not? Are you trying to do a sign and trade? What do you do with current players that have big paychecks? Are you trying to trade them? Or are you trying to bring it back with most of this roster? I have a hard time buying that, so let's see what happens. Right earlier this week, we saw a report that came out and touched on the fact that in coaching interviews, David Griffin alluded to he would like to see a starting backcourt of Kyra Lewis and Nickeil Alexander-Walker. I told you at the time that I read that, I looked at Jordan and I started rubbing my temples and I said, I need Tylenol or I need, you know, a leave, because my head was starting to hurt, because that's basically what myself and probably a lot of people were screaming last year with the starting backcourt that the Pelicans were putting out there. Not that I didn't think there was improvement that could happen with Lonzo or the, you know who they were, and especially the last week of the season, I would have just liked to have seen, you know, Jackson Hayes, Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, I mean, Kyra Lewis and Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Obviously, injuries impacted some of that a lot, but, you know, again, does that Athletic article that says his family's unhappy and he may be unhappy speed up the process and keep you from going young? I mean, I don't know. I'd say, look, you got to build a good basketball team. He's here, great. He's not. I got to build a good team. Now, I understand. Well, Gus, you can't say that. He's a one. Is he? He's got to prove that still to me. He's got talent. We keep referring to it and using it as a one-generational talent. Is he? He's got to show that, right? He has had a nice start in 90 games. There's some players that around his age or younger that have gotten teams into the postseason. But it's not all him. I understand. But there's a lot of elements to that game that needs to grow. I think he's got to be in better shape. So you can see some of the attributes that, quote, called him a once-in-a-generational type player. He was that, I think, when you saw him at the end of high school. Literally launching, leaping from the left elbow, in the air, dunking. I don't think I've ever seen that in the NBA, right? He led the league in his shots being blocked. That's not good. I jokingly, yet not so jokingly, called him the layup king. Less layups, more dunking, please. He should not be getting chased from behind by a big and blocked on a fast break when there's no one in front of you when you're laying it in. Dunk it. So there's some things, not even to mention the defensive side, but they have a head coach. Let's see what Willie Green will be able to do. Officially announced as the head coach of your New Orleans Pelicans, Tuesday, 11 a.m. will be the introductory press conference, no doubt, since we are your home for Pelicans basketball. Well, we got it planned. We got it planned. So definitely tune in next Tuesday. Final segment coming up next, though, on ESPN New Orleans.
At the Alpha Kai, you can't go wrong.
If you put a stack of $100 bills and a piece of wood in front of a Formosan termite, what would it eat? Both. They're swarming here and they're hungry. Call Terminex and local experts Dan and Billy Foster, the Bayou Boys. They can treat your home and save you thousands of dollars in damage. Don't let Formosan termites eat you out of house and home. Call Terminex today.
So call those Bayou Boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up? We'll help you find everything you need. Right now you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline MaxLife High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP oil filter for just $28.99. And if you're an AutoZone Rewards member, you'll also get a $5 bonus reward. Get what you need fast and get the job done easier.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Start your job today at AutoZone.com. Restrictions apply.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Final day of SEC Media Days. Matt Muscona, after further review, will join us, or will rather take over, at the top of the hour live over there from Hoover, Alabama. Some of the highlights, I guess, today, Missouri player kind of insinuating, obviously, with the Texas-Oklahoma news that if Texas or the Big 12 and some of those guys are worried about hook 'em horn signs going downwards, they got a lot to get ready for. They go into the SEC. A couple of coaches, including the Missouri head coach, kind of saying, I asked Greg Sankey if I should know anything about this, and he gave him a no comment, no answer as well. So it's interesting to see kind of where this season will come as SEC Media Days is a wrap. We spoke with Scott Rabelais to give us a little insight on that. Bo Nix, confident, saying he ain't scared of Alabama. Okay. See, I don't know if you need to poke anybody like that, right? I get it. It's the rivalry. I guess Auburn players are supposed to say they don't like Alabama. And Alabama players are supposed to say, I don't like Auburn. I get it. Tomorrow, Scott Rabelais said we'll get the writers' preseason rankings in terms of what they think teams will finish. And he voted for LSU for second. He believes a lot of people, though, will have Texas A&M as the second best team in the SEC West. So it remains to be seen whether or not that will take effect, obviously, when the season does come. It's interesting, though, when you take a look at whether or not Texas and Oklahoma will be in the SEC, what will come of it. All I know is Dennis Dodd says in about 2 hours, 10 minutes, 5 o'clock, they are going to have a meeting. All 12 ADs and CEOs of the Big 12 are going to have a meeting about Texas and Oklahoma and about these reports. And again, if you missed it earlier, the writer for the Houston Chronicle was on ESPN earlier over there at SEC Media Days and touched on the fact that we may know rather soon. And this is a report in Houston Chronicle as to what happened.
I think that it will be another year removed from surgery.
I'm sorry, that's Ben Roethlisberger. Apologies on that. But one of the things that stood out was this.
Well, I think, first of all, what I said before is anything that I say now, because there's no precedent for it, you don't really know how it's going to affect things. The question is because it's not going to be equal, and everything that we've done in college athletics in the past has always been equal. Everybody's had equal scholarship, equal opportunity. Now that's probably not going to be this case. You know, some positions, some players will have more opportunities than others. And how that's going to impact your team, our team, the players on the team, I really, you know, can't answer because we don't have any precedent for it.
And that's Nick talking about NIL, and you wonder if that's maybe part of the element too as well. Having this super conference of 16 teams, as Paul Feinbaum says, it's just inevitable that it's going to happen. And look, I mean, when you go and you look at this, you wonder how that's going to affect the ability to make more money. Again, his starting quarterback hasn't thrown a pass, approaching seven figures already, is what he's bringing up already. So look, super conferences, I guess it's would make sense, and probably what you might going to see from some of these schools and teams are just going to rake it in.
You know, the ACC, I think, will pick somebody off. The Pac-12 will have to. The Big Ten will have to go shopping. And I think we're going to see another wild, wild west gold rush here in college football. And you'll basically see a bunch of super teams. And you know, the SEC at 16, I'm not sure it stops there. You know, we just may end up with two or three super conferences. And your only relevance now is being in one of those and getting in the college football playoff.
Right. So Brent Zuerman is the individual for the Houston Chronicle that wrote the story. That's what I was trying to get to, but on why Texas would go.
I think Texas is just looking ahead at everything that's going on, the NIL, the expanded playoffs, all of those things, the payout that A&M is now getting compared to what they got in the Big 12, putting it all together and saying that they would like to be a part of that. And the SEC is thinking forward in terms of saying we want to be the first 16-team conference as well in terms of the super conferences.
By the way, Ross Bjork, the Texas A&M AD.
There's a reason why we left the Big 12. We wanted to have a standalone identity in the state of Texas and all the turmoil that was happening in college athletics at the time. And SEC's been a perfect fit for us. And we believe that we want to maintain that same identity. Perhaps there's a reason why Texas and Oklahoma are looking around, if that's the case. Of course they do. They want to be in the SEC. It's the best conference. So there's a lot of uncertainty, I think, right now in college athletics. So I think this type of story fuels that a little bit. But from our perspective, we love being in the SEC. We love being the only program in the state of Texas. And we're going to maintain that position. But we're also going to make sure that we are a leader in college athletics. And we'll see what the future holds.
In other words, if the money is right, then maybe I'll swallow my pride on that, right? Again, Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, brought it up earlier in the show. 2025, that is a date to keep in mind over the next couple of days or weeks, or maybe even this evening, depending on what comes out of this meeting. 2025 is when the current college football TV rights deal expires. Moving forward, ESPN will be your exclusive home for the SEC. The 230 game, everything will be ESPN. As he suggested, what if ESPN's come to the SEC, Texas and Oklahoma, and been like, hey, right now each school gets like $32 million or something from the TV deal a piece. What if you guys go to 16 teams, bring in the brands of Texas and Oklahoma, and say we go to 47 per? That's, again, money talking. Just think about that. That is just a check for being a part of the conference. Here you go. Towards facilities, you name it. Right?